Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
No playwright has ever written a script about a man who was in love with every woman he met, while at the same time being a total failure in getting any of them to love him in return. Such a play could not exist because a central figure would be considered a pathetic failure, worthy of sympathy rather than respect. Not only that, but no one would consider such a universal attraction as true love. True love, by its very nature, is directed towards a specific object. A mother may have affection for infants in general, but she will lay down her life for her own baby. It is natural for young men and women to be attracted to each other in general, but when true love hits, all others are forgotten and their attention is turned to a specific individual. Yet we have multitudes depicting the love of God towards men in just such a way. It is quite common to hear the message, God loves everybody, everywhere from the pulpit to the bumper sticker. In fact, most people would be aghast if someone was to suggest that the Bible does not teach such a concept. Yet the message and description of the love of God towards men is one of a particular nature. The Lord said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Some have tried to tone down the plainness of this declaration by saying what he meant was that he just loved Esau less than he did Jacob. But if we use that line of reasoning, we could as easily say that he hated Jacob less than he did Esau. One of the very central truths of the gospel message is the abiding love which the Lord has had for his elect children from before the foundation of the world. We love him because he first loved us. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. His love is so strong and absolute that he will stop at nothing to gather his people to himself. The Father sent his only begotten Son into the world to die an ignominious and painful death in order to secure the redemption of his own. The Son, being one with the Father, gladly undertook that awful contract and willingly laid down his life as a sacrifice in their behalf. When he agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane as the sin of those elect children was fully laid upon him, and he grappled with the reality of being despised in his Father's sight, he prayed specifically for them. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. He bound himself to that altar with those very cords of love, and he paid the debt of his elect. In his own body on Calvary's tree, hanging between heaven and earth as their substitute and mediator. There was never a time since the foundation of the earth that the Lord's elect were not deemed honorable in his sight. They have always been the objects of his love and have never been the objects of his wrath, nor appointed to such, though by their very sin nature they have acted in the same fashion as all of the rest of Adam's race and are as worthy of death as any. There is no more humbling experience in all the earth than for the Lord to make a man aware of this very fact, for it leaves him with no room for boasting of any type, since the only reason he should be included in the number of the redeemed is God's sovereign love, mercy, and grace. Hail, sovereign love that first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail, matchless, free, eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place. Not only did his love for his elect move him to purchase their pardon, but also to do whatever is necessary to draw them to himself, to win their affection, and to bind their hearts fast to his. He is intent on making them aware of that which he has done for them and of bringing them into conformity with Jesus Christ. In fact, he has predestined his elect unto that very end. So the Spirit of God is at work in the world, convincing the elect children of grace that they are unworthy sinners, deserving of destruction and worthy of death. The Lord will stop at nothing to bring his people to a place of repentance before him. He will even allow them to be turned over to their sin, that it might work its awful consequences upon their soul, body, and mind, that they might ultimately be made mindful by his Spirit's power of his gracious deliverance and be brought to a place of embracing him and being reconciled to him. He absolutely loves his people, absolutely, and desires their fellowship and their good, and all other things and all else must take a back seat to the accomplishing of that end. The gospel we preach is a message of redemption and reconciliation. He has redeemed us from the curse of sin, and now the gospel has been sent forth into the world to gather the redeemed by bringing them to a state of reconciliation in their mind and heart. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.